With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
2 or 3 days after I brought my first child home, I thought, what did I do to my life? What did I just do? Oh my God.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm John R. Bray.
And today we are going to talk about the desire, or maybe the complete absence of desire to have kids, to procreate. I love that word. At the end of the first season of this show, people are going to be armed with so much Mormon vernacular.
Is that actually in the Mormon vernacular? Procreate?
Oh,
I mean, is it commonly used?
Go forth and procreate.
Look at that.
BYU. Procreation. Anyway, what would we, you and I, John, say to someone who is on the fence about having kids?
First, before we jump into that, I just want to make sure we've addressed the idea of planets as part of the Mormon religion, because I'm more fascinated by that than I am with procreate, because honestly, if someone knocked on my door and said, let's talk about your planet, I would sign up like right away. But anyway, what would we tell people who are thinking about possibly having kids? We as single parents who are facing this alone, say to someone who might be struggling with the idea of whether or not to bring kids into the world, whether they want them or not, whether it's the right time. So we'd probably say a lot, or maybe nothing at all, and maybe that would speak volumes in itself.
We just give them a dead stare.
Just shake our heads and walk away.
This is your answer. So this whole idea was prompted by my babysitter, Kelly, who is actually joining us this week.
Hi. Hi. Hello.
Hey,
hello, Kelly.
Hi. Hi, John. Hi, Heather.
And Kelly, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
I'm your babysitter.
This is one of my nannies, and we are actually in my closet right now.
Literally.
This very is fitting. So awesome.
So just, I guess, in context of me having the question of having kids, my husband and I are both 28 years old, and that's significant in Utah, reaching that point in your life without ever having had children. And we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary. So I think a lot of our parents and relatives are wondering what we're waiting for.
Well, we have to mention here that being over 19 and not having a child in Utah means that you're done. If you haven't frozen your eggs by 19, well, just you're gonna die alone. It's a very prevalent in Utah for women to start having babies as soon as it's legal to do so.
You speak the truth.
Yeah. In some of the polygamous communities, it starts at like 13. But yeah, being 28 without having kids is an anomaly in Utah. Where actually in LA, when I got married at 27, people in LA were like, what are you doing?
You're so
Your
young.
Baby. Go ahead and speak about how you feel.
Well, I think we've talked about this, and I really appreciated your input on the question of having kids, and I think it's a fascinating topic. I guess I can just speak as someone who is unsure, and I definitely have felt ambivalent about having kids pretty much as long as I can remember. And so I know we're going to discuss a little bit later what not to say to someone who's unsure about having kids, and perhaps what you could say instead. I think that people who have always been sure about having kids have their own set of concerns, like I want to have kids, but how is this going to affect my marriage, my career, the finances, finding the right time, which are all understandable concerns. But when they're talking to someone who's unsure, they're thinking that the person who's unsure has those same concerns. Does that make sense?
Right. It's from their perspective.
Yeah. It's like they're similar concerns, but it's very different. It's like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to have kids.
I always knew that I wanted to have kids.
Right.
That, I mean, you can take the girl out of Mormonism, but you can't take the Mormonism out of the girl. And so I did question, like, what is it going to do to my career? What is it going to do to my finances? And I think the difference is how do I prepare for that?
Right.
And those who are on the fence, it's like, do I want to prepare for that?
Very well said. Right.
Is that the difference that you're talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think people who decide, know right off the bat, like you, Heather, to have kids, they can't comprehend the should I or shouldn't I. Most people assume that mm-hmm. we're all here to have children. So that shouldn't even be up for consideration. It should just be a matter of when and how many.
Right.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly faces that. Kelly faces that perspective quite a bit here.
Yeah.
And she had, she'd assembled and did you publish this online?
Just a casual tweet.
So about what to say, what not to say to someone who is on the fence about having kids. And that's why I was going to read it myself, but I was like, why don't I just have her on the podcast and let her read it in her own. I'm sure that you'll bring a great tone to it.
Do you want me to start talking about the different things that people often say?
Oh, yes.
Let's start with an obvious one, which is there's never going to be a right time, right?
I got that even though I wanted to have kids. People were like, oh, there's never a right time. Just go for it. And that bugged me even.
Well, I think that's just goes back to the assumption that you're definitely going to have kids at some point. You just got to go for it, you know? It's just looking past the fact that it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know even if in the first place if this is going to be the right thing for me or not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that comment, though, I think there's some truth to it. I think if someone wants to have kids, if they're waiting for the right moment, it won't ever come because there's never an ideal, perfect time, I think. But there's not going to be a right time, there could definitely be a wrong time.
Precisely.
And people don't consider that.
Are you unemployed and homeless? Have a baby.
Right. Or if you're really on the fence, you don't just decide, what the hell? I mean, you can't do that.
No. Not advisable.
YOLO. Let's just have a baby.
YOLO.
YOLO.
I've heard that word in so long.
Wow. That's YOLO. The first time that has appeared on MRS.
You know, here's the thing, though, is that I would think part of the reason Kelly may be on the fence about having kids is that, like, my children are birth control.
Oh, I did want to say something about that, actually. It's quite the opposite with your kids. So a lot of times people think that if you don't want kids, it's because you don't like kids or that you've never bonded with a child. But actually, it's like I love Marlo and Lita so much, and I know that I can have a fulfilling experience with kids in my life in a way that isn't just as a parent. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember when my sister had her children, and my bond with her oldest child was unreal. And I thought, I thought, I'll never feel this way about even my own kids. I love that baby so much. Totally, you can have that relationship if it's not your child.
Right, right, exactly. And so sometimes I think, you know, I have these kids in my life who I love, and why not? You can continue that through your life with plenty of kids, and they don't necessarily have to be your own.
I'll have to mention here that Kelly is right up there next to my mom in terms of being Marlo's favorite person in the world.
She's one of my favorites, too.
She adores Kelly. And I'm going to be in New York, sadly, for this activity that's going on at school. And my mom is going to be mad that I said this. I was like, okay, Marlo, in terms of someone coming to school with you, would you like grandmommy to come? She's like, no, I want Kelly. And I was like, whoa, that's a bond that Kelly has with my kid. If you can get above the Avon World Sales Leader. So what else have people said to you that you don't, you're like, oh my gosh, please.
One is that you're young or that you have time. And I definitely think that's true. You know, biologically, I definitely have time. But I guess it feels like it's missing the root anxiety over whether to have kids, because I can remember I was probably like Marlo's age, like 6 or 7. Like I remember where I was and just it hitting me like, oh my gosh, when you grow up, you have kids. Like that's what you do. And being like, I don't know if that's what I want to do. And I guess like for as long as I can remember, I felt that those mixed feelings towards having kids.
The ambivalence, yes.
Yeah, and so it kind of ties in
with this. But you felt that since you were a kid. Even as a child,
you're
like, I don't know if I want myself when
I grow up. I even did an experiment the other day with Marlo. I just asked her, like, do you want to have kids when you grow up? And of course, she enthusiastically, like, yes, I love babies. Marlo loves everything that's cute and little and though.
Until he grows up, becomes a 12-year-old and has attitude.
Yeah. So I mean, it feels like a fairy tale that like 5 or 10 years is going to change how I've like something I've felt my whole life, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I think that comment again though is assuming that everyone wants to have kids eventually at some point. So you're young now, but in 5 years, you will come to realize that children are your purpose.
Yeah.
Like it ignores that there are other factors or that you just simply might not be interested.
And I think that ties in too with the assumption that one day, like, you know, women swear up and down in their 20s that they're not going to have a baby and then they turn 30 and suddenly they can't get a baby fast enough. And I think that does happen for some women. But again, it just feels like a fairy tale that's suddenly going to happen to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I started to realize I need to look at it more as a choice that you make, and it's not necessarily something that's right or wrong. It's just a choice that you make, and then you live with that, and you be happy with it. And I don't know, I want your guys' input on this. This is why I'm here. So tell me what you think.
Well, do you think that you could really be truly happy without children, Kelly?
Oh my goodness. You just pinned another something that people say all the time. Do you really think you could be happy without children? And I have just like one word response to that, which is yup.
That's about as
Can
honest
I say
as it
that?
Gets.
No, I do. I do think. Sorry, I wasn't planning to talk so much. I want to let you guys give me some input in a second, but
we'll wait.
Let me.
No, this is great.
Let me just say, that's precisely the thing. Is that I'm really not lukewarm about having kids. There's actually like in my mind, there's a really solid camp for yes, having kids, and there's a really solid camp for no. Like both, I know that I could lead a fulfilling, happy, wonderful life without having kids, and I could lead a fulfilling, wonderful, happy life with having kids. And it's like precisely that, how do you pick, how do you decide that?
Yeah,
tell me.
I mean, there's no right or wrong way to decide it, I don't think.
I think that's true.
Well, there's the positive aspects of having children.
Are there, though?
Let me break out my notes. I actually had to think about those and write them down so I could reference. But yeah, I always wanted to have them. I was never on the fence. And will admit very publicly here that 2 or 3 days after I brought my first child home, I thought, what did I do to my life? What did I just do? Oh, my God.
Oh, I
was just like, did you experience that at all, John?
Yeah, I was 21, if you don't remember, and I was definitely way too young to understand the magnitude of what that all meant. And I mean, I was still getting, for probably the first year that Lexden was in my life, I would get phone calls at 2 a.m. on Saturday from friends drunk at the bar because they're 21, you know? And I mean, I have to work the next day, like, hey man, what's up? Oh, shut up. Don't stop calling me. Just stop calling me. And you start to realize, like, you start to wonder, I guess, did I make the wrong choice? Not that I needed to be drunk at a bar at 2 a.m., but I was the only one who had a kid at that point from my immediate circle. And that really made me question if I had made the wrong move.
Which is a daring thing to say about parenthood. Because you make the choice to either to have children or to be the parent of a child, and to even bring the word wrong into the conversation, I think is kind of a controversial thing to say.
But I think it's controversial because people are, I don't want to say ignorant, but there's this assumption that children are perfect and fantastic and everything's amazing. And if you ever say anything, you know, contrary to that, you're a terrible human being and a bad parent. And that's right. Just not true. I think, honestly, I'd be concerned if anyone had a kid and didn't have that a moment like that even in the first year where they wake up and they're like, oh, my God, what happened to my life?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I really did feel like my life had just completely exploded and fallen into bits around me. I didn't have any vision of, because the aftermath of birth was so horrifying. I didn't have any vision out of that. I didn't have any vision of, you know, the amazing things that children bring to your life. And I've said this to Kelly before. My kids are the most profound and significant thing in my life, period. Nothing will ever come close to that. Nothing. And raising them there's a sense of fulfillment there in the sense that, okay, I'm spending all of this time raising children, hopefully to be good human beings. It's a positive endeavor. You know, I'm not just hanging around watching Netflix. I'm raising children.
And hanging around and watching Netflix at the same time.
You can do it at the same time.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, like we've mentioned on other episodes, you know, our kids are sort of this, I mean, they're so central to everything. And, you know, we've said before that we are their foundation, right, through all of the turmoil that has occurred. And I think the opposite to that is true as well. I think, you know, some of what we've gone through might have been easier, would definitely have been easier had we not had kids. But I think Lexden was just as much of a foundation for me as I was for him during some of this. And that says a lot, I think, about the value and the connection.
That's a really good perspective. I think I would agree. Going through my divorce, like my children were my foundation and brought me so much comfort just seeing their faces at night, and even just the cuddling with them was healing. But so. I have been asked this question not just by you, Kelly, but by many people like, I don't know if I want kids. What would you say? And I will look them straight in the face and say, my children are the most amazing things. I would never, ever go back and make a different decision. But if you're on the fence, don't do it.
Yeah, I think this is a good example of like erring on the side of caution. Because it's not like, you know, you turn left and you should have gone right and you can just change course. I mean, once you make the decision, even if you're unsure about it and you decide to go forward, there's no going back. And that can be rough for all parties involved.
And so I have been guilty of saying to Kelly, you know, you're young, but I say it in the sense of you don't have to make a decision right now. You really do have plenty of time because, I hope I don't get sued. I actually was passing through the room. No, I wasn't passing through the room. I'm just going to go ahead and be honest. One night last week, I was so tired from marathon training that I made myself a meal and I sat down on my couch and I turned on Entertainment Tonight.
Which I can vouch is something Heather does not do regularly or ever.
Ever. I had not seen an episode of Entertainment Tonight in years. And they were making guesses about whether or not Cameron Diaz is pregnant. And Cameron Diaz has been very public about saying, you know, my life is very fulfilling without children. I don't need to have children to be fulfilled. She's been very vocal about that and really comfortable with it. So they started showing pictures of her walking around covering her what is a supposed baby bump. And that's what I'm thinking is, like, you're young and maybe there comes a point, like, in a few years where you're like, oh my gosh, I really want kids. Like, something happens, something, maybe Cameron, I don't know who she's dating. Is she dating somebody Madden?
Like Benji Madden.
I don't follow that. Yeah. I'm sorry. She's not dating me. That's all I know.
But maybe getting together with him, it like triggered something in her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's the only reason that I've ever said to you, there's time. And if mm-hmm. something changes, you mm-hmm. still have that course to go.
I really appreciate the, like, you're saying you have time. It is really empathic. It's like, you have time and this is such a huge decision. Like, just don't rush into anything either way. Like, it's okay to give yourself the time you need, you know, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. That's that, because I have no judgment on people who are on the fence or who don't want children
mm-hmm.
because, and I think, John, you would probably agree with me, you know how much work it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know what a sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think to say that you have time, to say that and act like you still have plenty of time to have kids is one thing, but I think Heather's approach, and I agree with it, you know, you have plenty of time to make the decision whether or
right.
not you want to have kids. And there's no reason to rush that. And I don't think there's any shame, even if you said definitively today, I don't want kids. And in 5 years that changes, that doesn't mean you lied. It doesn't mean you're not going mm-hmm. to be a good parent. It just, like Heather said, maybe something changed. And now you feel like, you know, you're finally at that point. And that's fine. But I don't mm-hmm. think it's wrong either way. But if you're on
Thank
the
you.
Fence, don't jump down onto the have kids side just to make a choice. I think that would be
definitely
horrifying, personally.
There is an age, though, where you got to make a decision.
But that age passed at 19. So it's really already done. Decision has been made.
Which is the, you know, that's the sort of the sad, I can't
what?
Form the words or the sentences. This is called mom brain. This is what happens to you. But that's the reality of it, is that we reach an age, women, where becoming pregnant or trying to have children with your own body is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of it.
Definitely. And if I can add, I think parenting, being a mom in your 20s is a different experience from being a mom in your 30s and is a different experience from being a mom in your 40s, you know? So I think there's something to be said that by all means don't rush in to a decision either way when you're on the fence. But I think that what you're saying is true, is that, you know, things do change based on your age.
And this is going to... You're probably going to hate me for this question. Do you think that there was anything about your upbringing that influenced your, like, I don't know if I want to have kids? Like, for me, because I can say definitely, I'm going to use the word, brainwashed. But it was drilled into my brain from day one. You grow up to have babies. You grow up to have a huge family. And I really did think that I was going to have 5 or 6 kids. And so there was, my childhood was artfully crafted to make me want to grow up to have children. Do you think that there was anything about your upbringing?
Absolutely. So a little more context about me. I also grew up super Mormon. And in the last few years, I've left that lifestyle. I don't believe in the Mormon church anymore. Yeah, that's a really big thing to say.
I hope everybody in your life knows this.
Definitely a scary thing to say. And so along with that, I've completely, like, to reconsider your faith, especially Mormonism, you basically throw everything up in the air and you reconsider everything, mm-hmm. which I know is something that you have done, Heather. So, yeah, I would say same thing. Like, I grew up complete, you know, there's a not even, oh, what is the word stronger than an expectation? Just an assumption that you're going to grow up and have kids and have a family, especially as a woman. That's what you do. That's what you're going to do. You get married.
It's like your only value, right? Essentially.
Definitely. And going into marriage, that same thing. I thought that I was going to eventually have kids. And then in the last few years, as I've changed so much about my life and my beliefs, along with it has been this question of having kids. So, yeah, that definitely has affected me and where I'm coming from.
Well, and also you guys both work.
Uh-huh.
But there's also, you just graduated last year.
I did, yep, from the University of Utah. Finally got my bachelor's degree. I'm really proud of that, so.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's work.
Yes.
Yes. I went back and finished my degree when I had Lexton, so I totally, huge thumbs up on that. It's a big accomplishment.
So you went back while you had a child?
I did. Oh, I was working full-time and commuting. I was commuting 40 minutes to work east, and then, an hour and 20 minutes west of work for school.
Wow.
It was
quadruple
awesome.
Congratulations on that, friend.
Dude.
Yeah,
dude.
It was a rough couple years.
Wow.
And how old was Lexton?
Wow. Six to eight, I think. Something like that. 6 to 8 or 7 to 9, somewhere around there.
That's intense.
Wow.
Good times.
And so did we talk enough about the good things about having kids?
Kids give you a unique chance to give back to the world in a really different way, because we have a chance to form the next generation. I mean, to create people that are good people, or to try, right? And
yes.
I think that's interesting. And then let them, you know, sort of remold us into better people as well. And I think that's an experience. And I guess I can't say this all the way, and maybe Kelly, correct me. You know, you spend a lot of time with kids that are not yours, and maybe some of this experience is the same in that situation. I will say that I think there are definitely experiences involved with having kids and benefits with having kids that you can't get by not having kids. But that doesn't mean that your life is less fulfilling. It's just different.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So in terms of like warnings that we would give people, the financial responsibility of kids is somewhat
crippling.
Just somewhat.
Yes.
Housing them and feeding them and making sure they're clothed. Oh, dear Lord, the clothing. Especially right now as they're both growing. Like, I will go and I will spend $100. I'm like, okay, this is going to be, we're going to get through the next, let's hope we can get through the next, you know, several months. And Marlo, there's a hole
in every single pair of pants in that kid's drawer.
I remember you mentioned that at one point.
Oh my gosh. Kelly sees the day-to-day of what goes on here, of the disaster that this whole thing is. There is not a single pair of pants in her drawer that is complete, that is an actual pair of pants. And so it's like we're constantly buying clothes, and then we're buying a whole bunch of Lunchables. Oh no, Lita's going to be really mad that I exposed that.
The clothes, though, are huge, and I don't know if you experience this with Lita because she's tall and long limbed, right? Yes. And Lexton is too. And finding things that fit is her, especially the pants, because he needs, like, you know, size 14 length and size 8 waist.
That's Lita.
And
that's
that
Lita.
Doesn't exist. So when I finally find a pair, I get 2 or 3 or 4 of the exact same thing because
yes.
I don't know when I'll find it again. And he just last year, he went through this period where he came home from school a couple times and his knees were all dirty and grass stained. And I said, oh, you know, dirty clothes right in the knee where they wear out. He's like, oh yeah, just, you know, playing a game, recess. Okay, fine. So finally I asked him, I said, what game are you playing? He said, well, it's this game where you run and then you just fall down on your knees and see who can get the bigger grass stain. I looked right at him. I said, you're allowed to play that game and then you're going to buy yourself more pants. I finally find pants that fit and you go and intentionally destroy them for fun. I can't.
I would believe if Marla was playing that game on the playground.
What's so great about this is that as we're talking, Kelly's just nodding furiously because, like, you don't have kids, but you actually do. You're like, because you see the oh my gosh,
the daily realities.
But it's like you mentioned, you're having such a profound impact on the life of two kids, and they're not yours, and that doesn't diminish your impact at all. I mean, I think that's incredible. I think the fact that you can have that connection with them is fantastic. And I don't think there's any shame in saying, you know, I can fill that quote unquote void
right
with children that are not my own. I think that's fine. You're making a difference in their life, and that's what matters.
Thank you. No, I agree. But in the same breath, I totally think that you're correct in you saying that there is something very unique and different about being a parent. But that doesn't mean that it's the only way that you can find fulfillment or lead a fulfilling life.
Right.
Right.
And back to the clothing part of it, like, they grow so fast, and keeping them in clothes that fit. Like, there are so many times where Marlo's like, Mom, I have nothing to wear. When are we going to the store? And I go into her hamper and I get her dirty clothes out. I'm like, well, not today. Yeah. Put this back on.
I have definitely done that. And I think when they're harder to fit, though.
Yes.
Like, when it's harder to find clothes that fit, you end up having to buy more expensive clothes because the less expensive clothes don't come in those sizes. That's what I experience,
at least. The less expensive clothes get destroyed more easily as well.
True.
For me, again, it's come back to time. I got to make time to go find them clothes that fit. And that's a whole Saturday gone. If and shopping with my kids in tow is one of my least favorite activities in the world.
I would guess that Marlo's not a big shopper.
No. No, she has, like her father. Her father has a very funny story where his family is huge shoppers. And they love to shop. And I guess when he was probably 8 or 9 years old, I think they were at Sears, and he was so bored. And I completely relate to this. I remember going shopping with my mom and hating it. But he actually fell down a set of stairs very dramatically and played dead at the bottom of the staircase.
No.
to try to get his mom to leave. And his sister was there, and his sister was like, get up the floor right now. You are so embarrassing. But Marlo has played dead in Old Navy. She's like, I'm dead. I'm gone. I'm not breathing. She wants to leave so badly.
That sounds like Marlo.
That's not what I want to do. And in making time, so every decision in your life, every single decision, every bite of food you eat, if you're constantly considering your children, it occupies every molecule of decision making.
And that's not even a slight exaggeration. And it's not a complaint. I mean, these are the downsides, right? So that's not exactly a positive, but it's just the reality of it. That's just how it becomes. They become central to every single decision. Last Friday, I spent 40 minutes trying to convince Lexton to go out and get tacos. And he would not. He would not do it. He's like, I don't want fancy tacos.
What?
And it's minor, and I'm not, that's totally not a big issue, but it's things like that where when you don't have kids, Kelly, you could go out and get fancy tacos every night, and I envy that.
I hate you for it.
But it's little things like that you don't really consider.
I needed to get some shopping done on Sunday, and I was going through my Rolodex. I try to give, since Kelly's with my kids on the afternoons, on the weekdays, I try to leave her alone on the weekends. So I was going through my Rolodex of babysitters, and no one was available. And I was like, oh, do I want to go shopping with my kids? So I finally, my sister wife, Ivy, whose kids are same age as my kids, she's like, oh, just bring them over. They can be here for a few hours. So I said, hey, Lita, I need to go do some shopping. You guys want to go over to Gigi's house? Mind you, it's a Sunday. She's wearing the pajamas that she had put on Friday because we had not left the house. And she looked at me and she's like, no, like, no, I don't want to get out. I don't want to get dressed. I don't want to go over there. Like, I try to, like, I spent like 30 minutes convincing her, like, you're going to go play so that I can go run errands to, like, take care of you. Like, there's that negotiation that goes on. It was like, you can't just get up and leave the house because of this responsibility that holds you to that house.
Exactly. And just to circle back for a minute, do you have a Rolodex? Did I hear that correctly?
Oh, man, that aged me so hard. Kelly, do you even know what a Rolodex is?
Yes, okay. I do know what a Rolodex is.
I was just flipping through my Rolodex trying to find a babysitter.
The Southern is coming out. Hold on. No, so Kelly and I are we agree politically. We're pretty much on the exact same political spectrum. She's feeling the burn, though.
Yes, and I am.
And I'm more of a Hillary supporter. I think that's the only difference.
It's okay, though. Yeah.
We can disagree. I like Bernie. I think Bernie is amazing. I think it's... We won't go into politics. We're just not going to go there. But Kelly's very conscience. This is mom brain day. Kelly's very conscious of, like, organic food and eating well and treating the environment, you know, with the respect that it's due. And having children is one of the worst things you can do to the environment.
Yeah, if I can interject. One of my last semesters of college, I took an anthropology statistics class, and it was two professors, and they didn't tell us this, but they were husband and wife, and they had studied anthropology for the last 40 years of their lives, and they had one child. And they made it very clear, the overpopulation, really, that's a concern that I walked away from that class with that I didn't have before. One more thing to, you know, add into the question of having kids is really, is it wise for the environment or, you know, or for humanity? Is it necessary? Do we need more people on this planet? Along with that, how many orphans you know, you see celebrities who have the means and the privileges to take to become parents of many children who don't have parents. I don't know. I'm just talking, but these are thoughts. These are the things that a person who is unsure about having children thinks about.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go all Mormon again. Did you ever see Saturday's Warrior?
Yes, when I was very young. I know the basic premise of.
So Saturday's Warrior is a very popular Mormon musical in the Mormon faith. And there's a song in it, and it goes, "Zero population is the answer, my friend. Without it, the rest of us are doomed." I'm a horrible singer.
Wow.
I have got to look that up.
That was excellent.
And it's all about the fact he's basically painted as the evil high schooler who is liberal, who's like, we're destroying the planet by having so many kids. And Mormons are like, no, we're not destroying the family. Families are forever. We need to have as many kids as possible. But like whenever we talk about like population, like zero population is the answer, my friend.
It's really true though. I mean, growing up Mormon, Christian, a woman, you really have this, especially Mormon, you have this belief that there are these souls up in heaven who are relying on you to bring them to the earth.
Yes.
And that's really something that you believe.
Well, I think though it's an interesting. I'm going to compare children and pets because they're kind of the same.
I knew this would come up, and I think it's a worthwhile discussion. So please, go
I think it's a good comparison because there's a lot of people that say, you know, don't buy a dog from a breeder, adopt a pet because there's so many out there and there's overpopulation. But that argument doesn't exist. At least I've not heard it. Maybe it's out there and it's just not as loud or I haven't paid attention. But that argument doesn't exist to say, do you want kids? Great. There's lots of kids who want parents.
Right.
And you can adopt. And I don't mean that in a joking way, but they're already out there. So if we're talking, even if you're taking the Christian and the Mormon approach and saying there's souls in heaven that need to come down, what about the souls in heaven that came down and now they're like, nah.
Right.
What am I going to do now?
You know? I think that's definitely something to consider and something to talk about, you know?
Well, it is, like you said, it is expensive and it's rough. And every adoptive parent I know, it's an extraordinarily complicated process to adopt. And that's a huge decision to do that. And I admire adoptive parents so much for that, for what they have to go through, both financially, emotionally, and physically to bring that child into their home.
Right. It's definitely a very particularly unique experience that's different from bearing your own child.
Yes. And I do give them a lot of credit. I wasn't trying to say that adoption is a simple answer by any means. I know people that have adopted it. It is I honestly think it's an uphill battle like the entire way.
Right.
That's why whenever someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm on the fence about having kids, I never say, have you considered adoption?
Right.
That's a whole other discussion.
Absolutely.
It's a whole completely different discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's different too. I mean, it's not that they're on the fence about whether or not they want to be pregnant.
Right.
And if they're like, I want kids, but I don't know if I actually want to be pregnant. Okay, then you can say, have you considered adoption?
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Being on the fence about kids, I mean, I think if you're on the fence about kids, adopting is definitely not the way to go because it is such an uphill battle.
Yes. That makes sense, yeah.
And we are now responsible for whether or not these children turn out to be actual decent human beings and not sociopaths.
Which is easier said than done.
Well, it is. Like, we keep hammering this home. The responsibility falls on us to make sure that our children are functioning. And I just had this, I had a breakdown the other morning because I had said to Lita, put your bowl in the dishwasher. And I do it every morning. That kid goes through like two boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios in like two days. That is not an endorsement by Honey Nut Cheerios. It's just the truth. So every morning before we go upstairs to go get dressed, I say, Leah, go put your bowl in the dishwasher. And I can count on less than one finger the number of times she's actually done it. And I came, and the other day I came downstairs and her bowl was in the sink. I know this is not a big deal. I know she's not killing people. But I was like, Lita, come here right now. She comes downstairs and I was like, I said, this is going to be the end of me. You have to put your bowl in the dishwasher. And I was like, you guys, the house is not a trash can. Pick your things up off the floor. Like, I remember as a kid having a list of chores every weekend and knowing how to clean a toilet and knowing how to clean the bathtub. These are things that I have to make sure alone. I have to make sure that my kids know how to do all of these like basic things. And it's a lot of responsibility. There's so much else going on where you're like, did I teach my kid anything today? She can't get the bowl in the dishwasher. What am I doing?
I think that's it though. It's like, it's not a big issue in the bigger picture, but for one, it happens 2000 times in a row and it becomes a bigger issue. And then you do start to sort of question yourself on all these little things. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, how did I fail? She didn't put it in the dishwasher. I'm doomed. She's doomed. It's over.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it comes down to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the long run, yes, we're raising decent, great human beings. But sometimes it's those little things that, you know, you just collapse.
We took our shoes off before we come in the house just because it became a habit because of all the snow in the winter. And you just take your shoes off so that you don't get snow all over the house. And so the entryway from the garage is just a disaster. It's a disaster.
An explosion of shoes and hats and gloves.
Yeah, and sometimes I walk into the house and I see it, and I do feel a profound sense of failure. Like, oh my gosh, like that right there is my life. That's like, if someone could paint my life, that's it right there. It's all that crap on the floor in the entryway that I have to step over to get into my house.
You know, I'm not a parent, but I would be willing to say that a lot of parents could relate with that feeling.
But if there's all this stress involved, right, and there's the downsides, what about all those photos of moms that look all angelic in this perfectly kept room that are sipping tea?
Oh, don't get me started. And don't get me started on those Photoshop photos.
But,
and those people.
it's so peaceful.
No, those are the women who refuse to show the mess behind the camera. It exists.
But honestly, I think I've seen their mudrooms on Pinterest, and they're equally as perfect. I don't know. I mean, if you're looking for inspiration, that might be a great place to turn. Get some wicker baskets.
makes motherhood look so beautiful. Motherhood is a beautiful washroom. With all of your laundry detergent perfectly organized, that's motherhood, Kelly.
The clean kitchen with the flowers and a bowl of cookie dough that the child is peacefully eating. A very accurate display.
Right. But I do think that's something else worth considering to some degree is, you know, when you're thinking about having kids, I feel like socially, the bar for moms is set so high that if you're anything but a flawless mother, you're failing. Whereas, and we've talked about this before, I don't remember on what episode, but with dads, if you're like functioning and have clothes on and you're with your child, you've automatically exceeded all expectations.
Yeah, I think that's so
which
true.
Is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Gold medal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Look, he got out of the house. Yeah.
The bar is so low.
It's so low.
It's just really disproportionate for men and for women, you know, to
Absolutely.
Be a good parent. Yeah.
And
that's a bad thing on both sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about, you know, being fulfilled in other ways, like they're without the responsibility of raising your children. I mean, we didn't talk about this, but like I'm not moving. I mean, I would love to go live in LA or I would love to live in San Francisco, but it's best for my children that we stay in Utah. It's best for them. Plenty of people move with children, but in terms of me and my kids, it's the healthiest for them if we stay here in Utah. But if I didn't have them, I could live.
The world would be opened up to you.
Yeah, I guess like you could say that.
It would. I mean, and people do move a lot with kids, but it's so much more challenging with kids because you've got family to consider and you have school districts to consider.
Friendships.
And it really complicates it. Mm-hmm. Friendships.
Cousins.
It's big. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially after having gone through, you know, the transition of living in a home with mom and dad to one parent, yeah. it's another change to throw in. And there are people that do it and they do it phenomenally well and I give them a ton of credit. But I'm in the same boat where I didn't move because this is where he needs to be.
Mm-hmm. It's the right thing for him.
Exactly.
Every situation is different and very unique. I can say my opinion is your babysitter. The girl's whole infrastructure is here. Infrastructure. Did I say that word right?
Yeah.
Infrastructure. You know.
You did. That's a good word for it, too.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great word for it. I mean, they're doctors, my mom, you. You meaning Kelly.
Yeah.
Although Lita is desperate to be on the podcast, John. And I was like,
is she really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you could tell her that if she puts her bowl in the dishwasher
yeah.
for so many days in a row.
I am the parent who bribes to get things done. But in like,
I'm not above it.
In terms of like being fulfilled, like it's not the same fulfillment, but it's an equal part fulfillment in friendships, in the relationship that you have with your partner, in the relationship that you have with family members. There are other fulfilling ways to fill your life. Fulfilling ways to fill your life.
I get you, though. I know what you're saying. And thank you. It's good. It's really good to hear that because most parents don't say that, you know.
Or you could find huge, huge like fulfillment in your job.
In your
work.
That
could be the thing that brings you the most joy in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's different from having kids, but it's not wrong.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I finally got the term for it, which is your family of affinity. You create, and I've realized for me on this journey that I'll use that term, on this journey of figuring out what, if parenthood is a thing for me or what that's going to look like for me, is that either way, a family of affinity is really important to me. Having my best friends and that whole structure that's not necessarily, you know, your blood family. Mm-hmm. You need to have that support either way.
Yeah. I mean, I still have my friendships, but I miss spending as much time as I used to with them. And I love spending my time with my kids. I do love spending time with my kids, but I do love spending time with friends and I miss it.
I think that's a great way to put it, Kelly. Honestly, I think if you can have that and you feel for yourself that you can have that family without kids, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point of this entire episode is, you know, what to say or what not to say. And I think for me, listening in on this discussion and from my own experience, I think there's the cynical part of me that would say, are you sure you want kids? Because think about how difficult the divorce is going to be with kids, right? So there's that. But I think the other thing is that I would say is that it has to be your choice and no one else's. And it has to be what you want, not to complete part of your life, but to add to it. I think if you're having kids because you think it's the logical next step or everybody does it or there's a void, that's not the right reason. It has to be something that you think will add to your life.
Yeah.
And you have to make that decision.
Kelly, what would you say to people? What would you advise people when someone comes up to you, someone and says, I'm on the fence about having kids?
Definitely err on the side of being too empathetic and compassionate, because this is just such a delicate topic, right? No matter what, it's something that people can be emotionally charged about, whether they've dealt with infertility, whether they knew for sure they didn't want kids or they did want kids, you know, across the board, it's hard for everyone. So I would say something like, way to take such a big decision seriously, you know, that's good job. You're gonna be happy with that. I like, for me, whether my husband and I decide to have kids or we don't, I think eventually we're gonna find ourselves in a place of peace because we explored the options and gave it a lot of thought. And I'm confident that we'll be happy with where we end up, you know. So kind of like a little pat on the back, like, good job. We did take it seriously, that, you know.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that you're so well-adjusted and so articulate. It's like, you'd make a great parent. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you. That is definitely a safer thing to say, you know. You'd make a great parent. That's a compliment. Thank you.
And I think to add to that, I mean, you're using those skills with kids already. So it's not like you'd make a great parent, but you never interact with children. You're wasting away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're applying it. I guess since you mentioned it, I realize I don't think we brought this up, but you're very on the fence about it. Is your husband on the fence about it as well? Are you guys like on the fence together?
Yeah. So I can't believe we didn't even bring that up sooner, but it's hard to, I don't want to speak for him, but if I could relay what he's said is that, he's definitely on the fence too. He feels like he could be happy with the kids and happy without kids. And I think his ambivalence on it, I'm like, oh, great, thank you. Like, couldn't you just really, really want kids? And then that would tip the scales for me. So he's kind of, you know, he's could go either way too. So I think that this is all part of it, is that it's something that we're going to have to ultimately decide on our own and then negotiate and work together what we end up deciding to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to be, honestly. I mean, I know it would be easier if he was strong in one direction or the other.
Yeah.
But then I think you'd be making, you would or he would be making the decision for the other person.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not, I don't think that's a good way to go, because then one person is just sort of saying, oh, okay, you convinced me. And I think when you're sitting on the fence, you look down on the side with kids and your yard hasn't been mowed in 2 weeks and there's primary plastic crap everywhere. And the other side, you're having a cocktail party and there's music. And I'm not saying that one side is better than the other, but they are very different versions of happiness.
Yes. Very well said. I completely agree with that.
And sometimes the cocktail side is pretty appealing.
I mean, sometimes those who make the choice to hop down on the side with kids have to learn to be happy with that decision. And I'm sure some people think that that's me. I haven't had to learn to be happy. I mean, I'm love being a mother. I love being a parent. I love my children, but it's really, really, really hard. And I think that is the one thing that I try to relay to anybody who asks me. I'm like, this is a lot of work. And there's really no way to explain or articulate just how much work it is. And just know that going into a decision like this, it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. You'll never do anything harder in your life.
But I think, you know, you mentioned people who hop down on the side for kids, you know, sometimes have to learn how to be happy. And I think right off the bat, it's easy to scoff at those people and say that that's terrible. But I mean, I'll admit that I unintentionally became one because I thought it would be way easier than it was. And it's not that I found myself unhappy, but you have to change your expectation and your direction and everything in your life. And I'm not embarrassed to say it. I mean, I had to really check myself and say, this is not what you thought, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
I'm glad that you admit that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the reality of it. I knew that I could have gone one of two ways. I could have been a terrible parent, or I could have just changed my outlook and been a good parent. And I chose that direction. And I don't think there's any shame in having to pick a direction.
No, no. I was going to ask our readers. I have said that now twice.
But, and we do need to transcribe these. We've had that request and we are working on it. I will reiterate that
again. We are working on it. So,
but not quite yet.
Our listeners, if are you on the fence? Because I know that some of you don't have kids and are listening to this. Are you on the fence about having kids? Do you ever get asked that question? And what would you say to someone who is on the fence about having kids, other than you're young, you have plenty of time? Can you be happy, really, without children? We would love to hear from you if you have experienced what Kelly has, or if you have any great advice for people. You can email us your stories at manicramblings.com, and we will share some of our favorites in a future episode.
You can also find us, as always, at manicramblings.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings.
And until next time, if you don't have a baby, then what kind of legacy are you leaving this world? Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly. Come on. Babies are cute.
Clock's a ticking.
Clock's a ticking. Have you frozen the eggs? Get on it.
That's on my to-do list. That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
The Southern accent is kind of taking a back seat.
Has it? Well, I can bring it out if we need to. That's a downside, is that my child is constantly making fun of my accent. Did you wash your hair, Mom?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.